Voices of VR podcast. Hello, my name is Kent Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling in the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So in continuing my coverage of Venice Immersive 2025, today's episode is about the Big Cube, which is a piece that was in competition at Venice Immersive. So this is a virtual reality piece. It's an animation piece where it's using a lot of abstractions to tell a larger story of conformity of reality, and then it basically explodes out into all these shapes that are organic and curving and more of a creative exploration. And so I'm talking to the creator, Meng Kui. You know, she's from China and has a lot of inspirations from Chinese architecture in this piece. And so there's a lot of conformity of those buildings. And then she went to art school internationally. And then you kind of have this explosive creativity that is being shown within the context of this piece. And so this piece is basically translating all of these concepts and ideas into these abstract forms and in creating these contrasts between them. And so it's through that contrast that's able to tell a larger story. And so from the contextual domains that are being explored, it's the tensions between the sense of self and the context of the other, specifically in the cultural pressures to conform and the desire to express personal creativity. And it takes inspiration from the repetitions and straight lines of the rectangles of Chinese architecture and then creates more of an organic and flowing perspective in the context of being a professional artist. And a lot of dialectical oppositions that are both in this piece contextually and thematically. And so the center of gravity of this piece is the air element, so much of the abstractions of this piece. And so one of the first lines of the description is that it says, quote, abstracting shapes to build the world. The Big Cube is an artistic VR experience that explores the abstraction of reality through minimal forms and immersive space. So to me, this is kind of the quintessential air element abstraction. I mean, it's still in the context of these spatial forms, but it's applying these concepts of abstract art to the way that you could tell a story through these juxtapositions relative to each other. And so it's the use of these abstract shapes to communicate quite a lot. So there's no words that are being used at all. And it's all about these contrasts that are within the context of these embodied and spatial metaphors, used in a very symbolic sort of dream logic way. And it's in this dream logic that we're asked to kind of interpret that. And it's pretty wide open in terms that you can project yourself into it in so many different ways, because it is this level of abstraction and almost contextless. You're able to see the story and put yourself into it to a certain degree. But it's also this process of piecing it all together between the more controlled and structured aspects and more unconstrained freedom and chaos. It comes through pretty loud and clear. And from the artist's statement, she's saying that's the true beauty of abstraction. It leaves space for everybody. The second center of gravity of this piece is much more the earth element in terms of the environmental sense of place that they're able to create. And so it's an animated immersive film. So this is kind of like the analog of visual storytelling. I'd say this is much more of like a spatial storytelling of using these kind of architectural shapes to be able to tell a broader story. So rather than the modulation of 2D images relative to each other in film, it's much more around these modulation of these spatial architecture elements relative to each other. And so, again, there's no script that she wrote to follow. She kind of dove in and started to build these spatial relationships relative to each other. And that was the basis of how she put together the story. And I guess the third element is the music and the water element in terms of it's very much driven by the music. It feels a little bit like a music video of sorts because it is very much rhythmic in a way that the repetitions and the contrasts that are also reflected within the music as well as it explodes out into this constrained, restrained into the more unrestrained, organic freedom representations. And that's kind of reflected within the context of the music as well. And in terms of the fire element, there's no real narrative agency or way that you're interacting. You're just sort of passively watching the story, and it's more about you projecting yourself into it with your own imagination. And so in terms of the archetypal themes and the character that's being explored, it's the tension between order, structure, and control against the chaos of the unboundedness and the freedom. So it's definitely inspired by the collective pressures to conform within China versus the creative freedom and expression that comes from traveling to other cultures to find an authentic artistic voice. So it's very much a dialectical piece that is a bit of a case study of creating these spatial contrasts in order to communicate these oppositions within both the contextual domains, the themes, and expression of this archetypal character that I think are all pointing at this tension and release that's happening within the context of this piece. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with Meng Kui happened on Monday, September 1st, 2025 at Venice Immersive in Venice, Italy. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Hi, my name is Meng Kui Huang and I'm from China, but I'm now based in Helsinki. And start with the VR project, you mean like introduce my project, right? Yeah, my project's the Big Cube, and it's like artistic VR experience, and it explores the reality of abstraction of reality and through minimal forms and immersive space. And the story is a simple story, and all the characters, they are living in the cube world, and they're always like following some introductions or lies to move the cubes. And there's one character, it just like found out another way to go, and so there's something unexpected happened. And yeah, that's my project.
Great. Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and all the design disciplines that you're bringing in and your journey into this immersive space.
Oh, okay. Yes. My art background is I graduated art school and I was studying in new media arts, but I was still mainly doing like experimental animation. And also after graduation, I start to work in China, Shanghai, the city. And I work as the illustrator for almost 5 years and working in the advertising company. But it's not like all the 5 years, it's only for 2 years. But after that, I start become a full-time freelance illustrator. And after that, I just start to feel okay, actually, for the commercial world, it's quite nice, but it's still not like enough for me. I feel especially illustration is something I'm still doing now. It's kind of like the easy way for me to express myself, but I still want to find some more interesting way to explore, to find the possibility for myself. And so after maybe 5 years, I apply for the master degree in Europe, and that is called European Joint Master. It's called Reanimar, and it's the master in animation. So I spent 2 more years to explore animation journey more. And also for this 2 years master, I just want to experience like an animation study or something. I have some goal already before I start my study. Is I already have the experience with VR in 2019. That is when I still living in Shanghai, and there's a technical team from Singapore, and they invite 10 different style artists to try the new Meta headset, and also they teach us how to use the application called Quill, and how we like create things in Quill mainly, but also the Median, the application called Median. And so this experience is quite nice for me also, because that was my first time to experience VR. And in the beginning, it's really kind of like an eye open, like mind open thing feeling. I feel for myself, I really like building stuffs, like a building world stuffs. But before VR, I mainly use illustration. Also, I really like to create some like a fantastical world or something. And in VR, it's just like you can do it to build the world really. And so that experience, I also try to make something, and I feel okay, this VR stuff and also Quill is quite okay for my style, like my illustration style or my personal style stuff. And so I still continue to doing that during the year I still living in China. But with this program I start, the master program, I found out they also have the VR course, and especially in Finland, and they support you to like do this VR experiment. And so before I start my program, I already want to continue to do my VR stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Were there any existing VR experiences that were made in Quill, like Tales from Soda Island or other pieces that you saw that gave you any inspiration for what might be possible with Quill?
Yeah. When I start to do my project, the Big Cube, I watch all the experience in Quill, like in the theater, Quill Theater, especially Soda Island. And like, I think they have like a 6 or 7 series and episodes. And then I watch them many times, actually. There's like a jungle one. They really inspired me. And also, when I'm doing this program, my advisor, his name is Nicolette. He's the one of the animator doing the Soda Island. So that is really nice and can have his help. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And I know Funi's here at Venice this year as well, also worked on that piece and The Art of Change last year at Venice. So maybe you could describe some of the other design inspirations for the Big Cube. I know in your artist statement you had described like abstract art and maybe a specific Chinese artist, but maybe you could describe a little bit of the inspirations behind the Big Cube.
Yes. I think for my style, I really like a minimalism style. And during my 2 years journey, like in the beginning, like I do for my illustration before, it's kind of like if you're interested to see, you will find out it's like a really complicated things. Somehow it's because it's easier for the client to accept it. That is like a kind of like a naturally you just go to that way. It's like you just make the scene beautiful, richer, and looks very fantastical like that. That part is kind of like I did quite well before I start my study. But later I just found out I want to find more precise way to express the stuff I want to express, because like you can make the thing really beautiful and people will just feel, oh wow, it's really amazing or something, but what's the information or what's the stuff you want to say? So I just start to find, okay, also I really like the simple shapes, and I just thinking, how can I find my own shapes, like the way I whatever drawing or creating, like my language shapes. So I start to try to search like how other artists doing that. And I have like one of my very favorite illustrator is called Christoph Niemann. He's a German illustrator, and he give me a nice inspiration. He say there's a major rules, like here is the realistic and here is abstract. Yeah, for the artist, you can always like you can be more realistic or you can be more abstract, but which is your right point, which one is your right point? That is the thing is really inspired me. Like I'm still looking for my right point. Like I don't want to be very realistic actually, but if I abstract too much, it most time will confuse the audience. I still want to like kind of communicate with audience, so I still looking for the right point to showing my understanding of the world. Yes, and also I got the inspiration from the Chinese artist also, because actually it's really interesting when I doing research, I found out Chinese art and Western art, or say Eastern art or Western art like this, Chinese Asian artists, they actually pursue something. It's more like abstract art. They are looking for some, we call it, there's a Chinese word called Yi Jing. It's kind of like you draw something but not imitate the thing, but you need to find the showing the core of the thing. So there's like a 3 levels. Like the first level, you draw the atmosphere, so you draw the feelings. But the second level is you draw yourself, your personality. But the third level is you draw your imagination. So like that. So it's very similar as abstract art in Western art description. So I think it's really interesting. And so the The Chinese artist I mentioned before, the Wu Guangzhong, is a very famous abstract artist in China. He also got the influence from the both. Like, he studied in France before and also continue doing the Chinese arts later. And he said there's a word like the kind never break the thread. That is also the really inspired me. Like, you can do anything you like, but you still need to base on the core essential of the thing, like that. And yeah, so I think it's what I thought, reason. Yes.
Yeah, and there's also quite a lot of architectural elements to your piece where you're building these really vast spaces that go beyond just the 2D frame. And so just curious to hear a little bit about your process of taking your illustration and starting to put it into 3D space that starts to become much more theatrical or architectural.
Yeah, this actually is one of the most challenging parts when I'm making this project. As I say, I actually doing the illustration like quite a lot before, and from 2D to 3D, and the 3D is not like in the 2D screen, it's like in the immersive space. You need to change your mindset. For me, like the moment I changed my mindset, before that I was just like, oh, it's so hard to make what I really want in VR. But when I changed the mindset, I found, okay, you just need to kind of focus on what you see in this site, and then to make it, and then to extend it. So that is like it takes some time for me to really like could build the stuffs inside. And for the big cube, the cube world, actually in the beginning I also kind of lost. Like I do like draw some cubes, and I was thinking the concept is cubes, but the problem is how you build the cubes, but it still feel it's like a war, like the war which is mechanistic. So that also take a quite long time for me. It's like in the beginning I build the cubes, and it just looks like a, yeah, you could feel it's like space, but it's not like a war. It's not like the war with its own function. And later I rethink about like the sentence I say, the kind never break the thread. So I try to think back why I want to build a cube war. And I just rethinking like, okay, the feeling about my cube war is kind of like for the creator's explanation. But I understand each one have their understanding about what the cube war is. But my cube war, the original idea is because I'm from China, and Chinese cities now, like China, like in the like developing way, like quite fast. And so the city also like developing really fast. But the problem is those development is not like in the very, good design way or something, kind of like that. So,
sounds like it's very utilitarian and serving a purpose, but not aesthetically beautiful. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like some European cities, if they want to change something, they will think that more, like a lot about how to reserve the old buildings, how to make the function better for the people living here. But for China, I think the problem is because it's too fast, so they kind of like, they need the buildings. They need the building for people to live, for the accommodation, and also for all the other like stops, but it's more like a repeated, like they just like repeat the buildings from here to there and from this city to that city. So you see the identity of the city is kind of lose more and more. Like for my personal feelings, it's like I couldn't get inspiration from my own city because it's like really just like with buildings. And that is what the original about the cube war, what I think about, okay, it's kind of really repeated and it's boring and it's not really good design and not like in a good, I don't know, it's not really built for me. Somehow I think about that. So when I build a keyboard, I would just think, okay, that I would just kind of thinking how I generalize this feeling. Actually, it's not just the buildings, but I feel the feelings. But I think this is not like a bad part for China because there's some reasons. But I know that it's not easy if you want to in this kind of short decades and to change like this way. It's not easy. But for my personal feelings, okay, this kind of feelings, it just made me feel like strict. So I just like changed it, expressed this feeling to my work. Yeah.
So it sounds like that, if I'm understanding you correctly, that the rigidness or structured aspects of Chinese culture, you were trying to translate that into like these more straight line, rigid cubes that were metaphorically representing like a very rigid or structured society or culture that, you know, in your animation, you have this contrast between that beginning part and then it breaks free into something else that is in contrast to that more straight lines and rigidness. So, yeah, I don't know if that makes sense or that.
Yes, it's kind of like that, yeah. And, yeah, I think it's kind of just like what you say. But I also think, like, the cube war is, although when I design the visual part, it is based on those, like, it is something from the real, but also from the feeling. And it's like also, I think, but because I'm from China, so my Chinese background, like, give me a lot of thinking. But, like, people always follow the same role in their whole life. This is also, like, my cube. I feel like a cube. Like, people always, like, you need to go to university and get married and have baby, and baby need to be, you go to university and your life will going to be successful and like that. Like, it seems like a one-way road. And so I feel, no, your life is not just like this way. But I think many people think about this. I don't know. But when I think about cube, it is also the one of the cube, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about this shift from the cube world that has a lot of muted colors, blackish, grayish, white, but then into this explosion of curves and colors as a contrast. So yeah, just curious to hear how you describe this shift or this pivot in the piece.
I feel it's also from my personal experience, like all of those with the cube world feelings. It's like, yeah, with those buildings, the city I live in, and so I feel the street, and also my mind also get. I started the art quite early. My father is an interior designer, so we can have some art education quite early, like when I was a kid. But I just get the feeling is actually before my university, I didn't know what is creating. I didn't know, like, create something. The way I know about art is more like, okay, I need to draw very good, like a real. When you draw, like my father would say, like you need to draw like what you see. And my father also have really interesting ways. This way you draw like what you see, and also it's better if you can offset the item and draw it also like what you see, so that you can see the point. It's quite classical way about the art. And so before my university, I always have this kind of mind. And also my whole education is also kind of, it's like you're not develop your imagination during study, like high school study or something. But university do really like the point, like an explosion point for me. I studied in the art school in the city called Chongqing. It's in the southwest China, and it's really good art school. And So I was studying in new media art, and for the university, they are not teaching you a lot. They are just like showing you what the art is. But that is nice for me at the moment. I learned about, okay, when the artist is doing art, it's not just like a drawing, and not like a draw beautifully or not draw real, like just like a real. And so I found out, okay, you can doing like a installation and like a modern dance. And also we learn a lot different course, like also performance art or something, also like ground art or something. But it's not deeply, it's just like a very appearance learning, but it just gave me the okay, we can use many different way to express ourselves. And also the 4 years when I was in university is also helped me to open my mind. Like I was really like struggling to get the idea in the beginning, but after like 2 or 3 years it's much easier for me to think about what I experience and how can I express this experience. So I think in the film the explosion point for this one is like this. So I kind of experience a lot of stuff and then I change somehow in my mind. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a real creative awakening. And maybe you could describe the second half after that explosion point, you know, because it seemed to be a lot more layered, a lot more colors, a lot more curves. But like, how do you describe this shift from the cube world into this second part where it's gone through some sort of transformation?
For this, originally, I was just thinking the cube world is the world we live in, the modern world. Is whatever China or other countries. And for the fantastic world, the colorful world, it's more like a geometric world. It's like the world we are pursuing for many people. Like nature, like our inner landscapes or our imagination or like that. So have this kind of contract. So that is my original ideas about the fantastic world. For design, for the different things about the fantastical world, it's not like in the beginning I already have these images. It's more like when I developing the stories, I think I need these things, and so I just add these things to that. And also because when you create in VR, you for myself, I don't know if other creators have the same feeling. It's like always I got some inspiration from my previous, like the work I already made. I said, okay, I already make these things. Maybe I can make it better. Or, okay, maybe the next thing could be another one. And so I couldn't plan it in the beginning, but it is, there's some plan in the beginning, but I couldn't like with the visual stuff. And also, like in the green scene, the scene when there's a lot of different creatures come out, that one is the part I really enjoy to create. It's also the thing I really like, even drawing. Like I like to like create some like very unique features, and also I like to make the scene beautiful, although it's something I try not to do too much, but it's still what I like and what I'm good at. So like that, yeah.
Yeah, so really beautiful contrast between where you started and where you end up in this translation, and having different animations that were very minimalist in some ways of just like shapes rotating around. But you were talking earlier at the beginning of the interview of how a lot of the illustrations would want you to have a lot of complexity or a lot of flourish or a lot of things that when people see, they say that's quite beautiful. And so it seems like there's a bit of a contrast between like the highly minimalist approach of the first part, and then you're getting a little bit more organic or complex, or, you know, there's still minimalist elements, but it does have like a different style. So yeah, curious to hear you talk a bit about, as you're telling a story, how you could progress the story by giving this contrast from the beginning of what that looks like into this second part, into this more fantastical world, and how you start to think around the process of telling stories by creating these contrasts.
I think it's like the high peak in the story, right? When the contrast, and also contrast always is the way I think the creator will use for whatever, what kind of art. Because you always have the contrast. Like, it's not just the cube world contrast, it's somehow, like, in the cube world and fantasy world, this contrast, like, in the cube world, also there's some other contrasts, like, the character, the main character, and with the other characters, they also have the different way. Like, the main character looks more curiosity than other characters. This kind of just add more layers for the stories. And also, I think it just matter to do the art. So the contrast, yeah, I'm not really sure the answer. For my understanding about the contrast, like when you're drawing also, same, like you always need the contrast, shape contrast, form contrast, and you can make this thing, like you say it's right. Like in the cube world is simpler, like the shape is more minimalism, but the fantastic colorful world, it looks more complicated and more interesting. Yeah, so I think the contrast is, it's just the way you need to, but it's also like the other methods. Like I think for me, I do a lot of like a generalization, because you need to abstract the stuffs like to the work, and so when doing the art, you just use different way to do. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, maybe you could talk a bit around the sound design and the music that's in this piece.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That is, I think I'm kind of like a happy and lucky part. The sound designer, he is Nico. He's also the student studying in Sibiu University in Finland, in Helsinki. But he's really professional. And when we start to cooperate, it's like, for me, it's kind of like the first time to cooperate with the composer. And so I'm not really sure how much I should give him. But we just start to talk, and we found out we both have like a kind of same style about the, it's not like style drawing or something, but it's more like same style about sentence about the art and something. And so when we talk more, and it's really in the later, like when we start to work, it's easy to communicate with him, and he can easily understanding what I want. I think like the cube world, because the music is more like electronic music, also experimental music in the beginning, that one. I was not really sure, because it's really important. It's like the beginning of the film. Also, this world, it needs to this kind of like a music atmosphere to make the audience, when they inside the world, they need to just immediately get the feeling about the world. So in the beginning, I'm not really sure what kind of music I can use or something. But I would just think like experimental music would be good. So when I talked to him, he also like, okay, I will try some stops, and if there's something is good, we can continue with that. And later when he gave me few versions, different versions, and I got something. And later we just like keep communicate, and it's a really nice experience for me actually. But for the music, we got some stuck in the explosion part, like the moment when the word from cube word to the colorful word, that explosion moment, and also the song later. We spent quite a long time to find the real way we really want. But I think now the result is quite nice, actually. Many people say they like that part, actually. Yeah, yes. And for the sound design, that is his first experience also. But I think he also did really good. He's the Finnish composer. And I think we both all love or like Moomin. So it's kind of like have the same taste but the animation things about the world understanding. So when he makes something new and when he adds something, I really like a surprise, also happy. Oh wow, it's nice. And also I didn't think about it could be like this way. And yeah, and also although for him it's not like his duty, he need to do this much, but I really happy during the whole process. He also treat the whole project as his own project, and so we try a lot with the song. Yeah, that is really nice.
Yeah, and there's so much about this piece that you have to really be immersed to see the full spatial context to really appreciate it. And I'm wondering how you went about developing this piece, if you wrote a script first for what you were trying to do, or if you started to do some rough gray boxing or prototyping of quick sketches in VR, or if you did 2D storyboards outside of VR, just trying to get a sense of where you started when you started to put this story together.
In the beginning, we do need to, in the whole program, we actually need to, like, I need to do it with my classmates, like do the script and screenplay together. But I found out for me it's really hard. It's not the text, the writing stuff, it's not my thing actually. So I try it. I do make the script, also I do write something. But I found out I couldn't imagine how it work. And so later I just draw it. And so I start to draw my story instead of just writing it. And that's much easier for me to imagine how the whole story will be. But it is like now I kind of understanding myself. It's like more like a visual people. So I started, actually could say like a beginning is like the drawing is the start, the beginning part. And data is also the part, like I draw in the beginning is in the 2D, in the paper. But when I try to make it in VR, and like just also like a storyboard in VR, it's another story, it's different again. And I really struggle. I was kind of struggle for the half a year. But it's not saying we need to like doing one thing in the whole half 6 months, but it's kind of our main duty to doing that. But I couldn't make something in these 6 months. And later, I start to really build the world instead of just follow my 2D storyboard. And so I just like building this cube world and didn't follow any story. And I made many different versions about the cube board. Like, it's like different colors, different format, and also different structure about the city. Later, I think the beginning about this cube board, I think it's I got the help from Nick. Like he just gave me some really good advice about how to build the world. So I start to like just focus on the building world. And also Nick gave me many advice about how to make the animation in Quill. That is super helpful, because if you're familiar with Quill, and it's quite complicated to make different layers about all the things and all the elements and the animation part, also the steel part like that. But in the beginning, I'm lucky have Nick to help me to kind of clarify about what this process will be. And so, yeah, after that, yeah, things just get much easier. Yeah.
So it sounds like you learned a lot through what works and doesn't work for your own process for creating animations like this, where writing it out in a script isn't necessarily your thing, and even there may be some utility in a 2D storyboard, but that you really don't understand it until you're actually building it within Quill. So as you move forward and think about the next projects, what do you think the best process for you is going to be in order to do the first prototype of a story, if you like moving forward, what do you think you're gonna do next time?
I think I will still start from drawing. Like, I do already have the idea about the new project, and now actually I already also have some drawings, but if like going to like develop the whole story, I think I would just like start with the drawing and just make the different things I want to make, and then make the story, the writing story for it, like that. I think it's going to be my process all the time. Yeah. Yes.
Great. And so, how's your experience been here at Venice? What's been some of the reactions to your piece?
That's cool. That's honestly, it's really cool experience for me. I already staying here for, I think it's already a week, and every day, yeah, I can experience many different projects. It's really inspiring for me also, and also it's really nice organization in Venice. Yeah, Liz and Michelle is like doing really well, and then also I met many different people and make friends with many different people, like other creators, other teams, and other things like the developers, composers, and those are, I think it's really, really nice for me. Like I think there's so many potential cooperation in the future. Yes, it is. And yeah.
Any favorites of pieces that you've seen so far?
Actually, I'm the like big installation part. I really expect them, but I haven't tried them. I think it's later I'm going to try Dark Room, and tomorrow I'm going to try The Crowd on the 2000. And that one, and also Blur also I haven't tried, so I couldn't make the say which one. But so far, I think I really enjoying face jumping. Yeah, that's a really interesting project. Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I had a chance to play through it again here at Venice, but first of all, at South by Southwest. But yeah, it's a really fun mechanic to look in someone else's eyes and teleport into their body. And yeah, just has a lot of humor and irreverence in it. So
yeah, and also the concept also quite interesting, because it's face jumping. It's kind of you jump to the other people's space, but actually you are kind of like use the different way perspective to see the same thing, and this is most the part I feel it also can be happened in like a 2D game or something, but in VR it's more like immersive, more feeling about, okay, when I jump to the another person and I could see the another things like that. Yeah, that's really, yeah. Also, I also like The Time Before. Yeah, that one is like a quite, I really like the way he tell the story, and the story is also really nice, and also the style is more like a 2D drawing style, but I don't feel is, I still feel it's really nice, like he used VR to show in this story. He combined it very well. Yeah.
Yeah, the really seamless integration of the 2D drawings into the monoscopic 360 video. So yeah, also a really well told story. So yeah, I guess as we start to wrap up, I'd love to hear what you think the ultimate potential of virtual reality and immersive storytelling might be, and what it might be able to enable.
You mean?
Like sort of like where this is all going here in the future, and where it might be able to go and might be able to enable here in the future. So the potential of where it might be going.
It's hard to say, because we never know what's going on in the future. But I think VR now, it's a unique way to tell the story. So it still have its own space. Most of us say it's also still limited, because you cannot show the project to more people because you have to wear the headset. Also, now it's not like a lot of people have their own headsets. But I think in the future, when the technical developing, it will happen. Like if the headset lighter, it will be much easier for the normal people to watch it. Also, I think like exhibition or venues, they now is more kind of more interesting about like a VR exhibitions, because it is like give the people many different special experience that is not like a other exhibition could give. So it could have its own role in the hour. Yes.
Awesome. And is there anything else that's left unsaid? Any final thoughts to share with the broader immersive community?
I'm not really sure. I have more, but I just feel when you do the immersive project, yeah, showing the VR is the one way, but actually there's also have many different way you could show your project. That is what I want. Like, I want to make the world bigger and richer, like people feel it is like in the world, but it's not just could be seen in VR. Maybe it could be like a more like a big space and like a big screens or something, or other ways. So I just think you could do many, many different possibilities and to make art. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much for joining me here on the podcast. I really enjoyed watching through the big cube and the way that you're creating this kind of minimalist style and moving into this explosion of color. And yeah, I feel like that animation in VR is able to, I think, use the abstractions and the kind of poetic translation of shapes and forms and really using the full space of VR in a way that I think is really pushing forward the grammar of VR, of how to tell stories in VR. So I always like to see the animation pieces, and your piece as well is just a really short and simple and sweet story, and that I think comes through really well, and also developing your own style of how to express yourself in VR. So yeah, very much enjoyed watching it, and thanks again for joining me here on the podcast to help break it all down.
Thank you. It's a really nice experience to talk to you also. Yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning into this Venice Immersive 2025 coverage. And hopefully you found some use in some of this documentation of these experiences that are very ephemeral. And some of these show at these festivals and they don't really go out widely beyond this a lot of times. I mean, maybe they are, but you may not be in a place that it's easy for you to see them. And so it's a real privilege to be able to see all these experiences, but also to be able to sit down with these creators and have a really deep in-depth conversation in a way that there are not a lot of other opportunities to really dig into at this level. And so I really appreciate all the time from all the creators to be able to have these conversations, but also for you to take the time to listen to them. And also it's been a challenge of trying to find a way of speaking about these experiences in an abstract, theoretical way, or at least in a way that I can ground it and allow you to put yourself into the experiences to kind of imagine some of these different things that they're doing, how I'm experiencing it, but also the different types of design decisions that the creator is making. So if you find this useful and want to support this type of effort of both documenting the history of immersive storytelling, but also to support this kind of wildly ambitious independent journalism project that is very much driven by support by listeners like yourself. So please do consider becoming a member of the Patreon at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.